Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dr. Ennis, I presume.
Hello, how are you? Can you hear me on this?
I can indeed, yeah.
Perfect, that's great.
What are you recording onto?
I'm recording onto my little microphone thing, so happy days.
Ooh.
All the best of technology.
Critichet spares no expense, eh?
I know, yeah, feckin' brilliant. How was your workout?
I haven't done it yet, actually. I got involved in inputting my... So today we're going to talk about something really interesting. Well, I hope everything we talk about is interesting in fairness, but we're going to talk about something that was inspired by a photograph that I saw in one of Ireland's national newspapers, the Irish Times. And it was a bit sad, or at least the photograph made me a bit sad. And I'll describe what it was to you. So there's a lovely picture of a gorgeous little kid, little four-year-old, little redheaded fella. He's holding up a bag, a plastic bag. It's clear. There's water in it, and there's also a goldfish in it, a small little goldfish. And that just got me thinking about how far we still yet have to come.
Yeah.
When we talk about animals and our attitudes to them. Because, you know, when I was growing up, and probably when you were growing up as well, you know, we did think goldfish were a bit disposable. They sort of came across as disposable toys because we got them at fun fairs, because people gave them as presents in plastic bags. But what we want to do today is to tell everybody how amazing these creatures are and how really they shouldn't be given away as thoughtless toys for millions and millions and millions of reasons, because they're pretty darn cool, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think, as you said, like, I mean, goldfish are just kind of like one of them meh animals to a lot of people. It's just like, it doesn't really mean much, but they are such fascinating creatures. Their history, how they came about, and just like, even their, what we've learned from them, their intelligence is a lot more nuanced than we would have believed or been told back in the day. They're just fantastic creatures altogether, and I think we should do them a good turn.
So we're going to do a lot of myth busting today. First of all, what is a goldfish?
It's a type of carp. So it's very closely related to the carp family. It is in the carp family. It's closely related to like the Persian carps. And
all right.
Yeah. And it would have been a wild species of fish from Southeast Asia back in the day. Now, it had a tendency when breeding to kind of lean towards, instead of the grey normal colours and the brown colours of a carp, you would get kind of golden and orange varieties.
Yeah.
And they first noticed that back in the Jing Dynasty. I'm going to give you a bit of a Chinese history lesson here. So that's when they first like documented that, because the Chinese were great at taking notes. They're always quite scientific and observing the natural world. So they first noticed these fish with a certain amount of orange in them. And then they started selectively breeding them over 2,000 years.
Right.
Basically. And it got into a point then that they became a symbol of your wealth. And the emperors would build specific ponds for these fish. And because the imperial colour is gold over in China at the time.
Yep.
So the regular people on the street weren't allowed to have these goldfish. So the regular people had the orangey coloured ones, but the golden ones were all collected and brought to the emperor.
Wow.
And kept in his ponds. And then it became very popular just for people, you know, all over the countryside to breed new kind of morphs and forms. They bred them into the long fancy tail types. Then they started keeping them indoors. And this is where we kind of got the first introduction of the goldfish bowl.
Yeah.
And it would have been, not a bowl isn't what we remember, but a large kind of Chinese porcelain bowl.
Right.
And they would have bred specifically the types that would be much more, you know, the goldfish that you'd look at that have fan tails with very stumpy bodies, maybe a big head.
Yeah.
They couldn't survive in ponds, so they were kept indoors in bowls. And again, very much a status symbol. You take your best fish out and you'd put it in a glass bowl to display.
Ah.
And you'd put it back in its pond or back in its large bowl after your guests have left.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so this is what happened when the Chinese were trading with the Japanese. The Japanese would have taken goldfish back to Japan, and some of them would have taken this idea of keeping the goldfish full term in the bowls. And this was passed on to the Portuguese, who brought them to Europe. And from Portugal then, they were kind of spread out all over Europe. And that kind of keeping them in bowls and keeping them inside seems to have come from the display bowls that would have they would have been originally shown in back in China where they were bred originally.
Uh-huh.
But now we're kind of doing it out of context in Europe and incorrectly for generations now. So it really is an interesting history. And, you know, back in the day in the 1600s, if me or you were to get married back in the 1600s, one of the best gifts they could have given you was a goldfish in a bowl. Yeah, it was a real, again, a status symbol to kind of show how rich you were. But then, of course, goldfish are incredible breeders, and once they get into a country, they start to breed like mad, and the status symbol of the goldfish kind of went down over the years, and it became very much a aquarium hobbyist pet that we all kind of know and love.
So that's how that image, like if you say to anybody, imagine a goldfish, that's probably what people would imagine. That lovely fan-tailed small fish in a roundy bowl looking straight at you with a few bubbles coming out of his mouth.
Yes.
So in terms of myth busting,
yeah,
we used to think that these roundy bowls with the small opening at the top, their smallish opening at the top were ideal for them because one of the things that I heard when I was a kid was, oh no, goldfish will only grow in proportion to the bowl size. So let's smash this myth to smithereens.
It's kind of true.
Kind of true about what?
About growing to the size of the bowl. They will to a degree. But it's not good for them to be kept in bowls because they're basically swimming around their own filth. A goldfish, even up to an inch, should have at least 10 to 20 gallons of water to swim around it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So you never get that in a small bowl. They need space. They need mental stimulation. They need company. They are a shoaling fish, so company is always good for a goldfish. And, you know, you want, like we always kind of emphasize on the show, you want to give these animals the most natural existence and the best existence that you can possibly do. And it has been, thankfully, there has been a turn. Most of the pet shops I would frequent, on the door, there are signs expressing the fact that they won't sell goldfish in bowls. They'll only sell them in tanks. And that's been a big movement pushed by a lot of ethical pet shops. And that's great to see.
So tell me about how they live in the wild and how, you know, what they need essentially if we want to keep them in our homes.
Well, as I said, they are a species of carp. They're shoalers. They'll all move together in shoals as they feed and munch away. Breeding is very interesting for them in the warmer months. The males will start chasing the females around and nudge them. If you've ever kept goldfish in a pond, which I have since I was a kid,
aww,
you'll see it's quite vigorous and The males will keep hassling the females until they kind of dump their eggs and the males will fertilise them.
All right.
The eggs are instantly sticky, so they'll stick to plants, but they hatch out in 48 to 72 hours. And the baby fry that come out develop so quickly, they grow so fast. And that's a throwback to when they were wild because goldfish are ferocious feeders and they'll not stop feeding.
Yeah.
And that includes their own young and eggs. So the young grow really, really fast. to avoid mum and dad munching on them.
Yeah, as you would.
They're not gold for the first year of their life. They're kind of a tan brown, which is to throw back to their ancestors.
Yep.
And, you know, once they get to mature sizes, then in the wild, in a decent sized lake, you'd see goldfish that will grow up to 19 inches sometimes. The biggest one was caught in the Netherlands, believe it or not, in a lake out there, and it was 19 inches. And you're talking about several pounds in weight as well.
Wow. Carly, wasn't there an even bigger one caught recently in France? Like massive, 40 pounds or something?
They call it the carrot. It's
if
you're into your carp fishing, it's a very famous carp. Now, it's not a true goldfish. It's a goldfish carp hybrid, and that's another thing goldfish will do very well. They'll hybridize with koi, other species of carp, and you'll get these kind of freaky giant kind of monstrous looking goldfish, but they technically aren't goldfish. So they're like, as you're saying, their natural history is so diverse, and they have all these kind of unique traits that they use to survive. And you know, to throw them in a bowl with a tiny little opening is really...
cruel.
It's cruel. It's putting somebody in solitary confinement, you know?
Yeah. And if you imagine they're in a bowl and if there's nothing in it, like, what is the fish going to do? The fish is on display all the time for whoever happens to be in the room. That's not good for creatures.
For any animal that's, you know, naturally a shoaling creature or a flocking creature or whatever, same as a bird in a cage, when they are isolated, it's not great for them at all.
Did you know that in Switzerland they passed a law whereby you're not allowed to have just one goldfish?
That's fantastic. And Rome has banned Rome in 2004 banned goldfish being handed out at fairs and being kept in bowls as well. So we're a fair bit behind the Italians in this kind of movement. But it's great to see, you know.
Yeah. The other thing that Swiss did as well, which is really interesting, as part of the same law, any animal that is sort of gregarious or swims in shoals or is in groups, you're not allowed to keep them by themselves. So even cats. So if you want a cat and you want a cat to be an indoor cat, you're not allowed to get only one, because contrary to what we believe about cats, they're not really all that solitary and they do need company. So, you know, I have two cats. I used to have three, but Ted, the big guy, he left me for a French woman. He has a great life now in Dublin. And the two that we have here, Ziggy and Daisy, they are company for each other. They're indoor cats. And in Switzerland, you're not allowed to have only one cat at home by itself all the time if it's an indoor cat. And I think that's really good. Same goes for birds. Yeah, interesting laws there. So it's great to see.
It is. It's fantastic. And it's nice to see, you know, these kind of laws coming in gradually and changing our kind of perception of these animals as, you know, living entities as opposed to commodities. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
You know, and like, again, like when we're getting back to the goldfish, like in the bowl there, anybody who's kept them over the years, you know, when you kind of walk past it, the head will come up and it will start begging for food, because they're constantly hungry. They're never full. In the wild, they'd always be on the search for food. And this is part of the reason they can kind of get quite fat if you overfeed them.
Right.
But that is a clear sign of an intelligent animal that knows, because they do have a memory. And like...
That's another one now. That's another myth we're going to bust. So everybody thinks that goldfish only remembers things for 3 minutes, 3 seconds. But that's not correct, is it?
What was that old joke? A castle, because the castle in the bowl.
Right.
But no, it's not. Their memory is actually, in scientific tests, they've measured it up to 3 months as being a really decent memory.
Mm.
So, you know, they'll learn a behaviour and they'll hang on to it and they'll keep refreshing that learning.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you're living in any environment and you can only remember things for 3 seconds, I mean, you'd be toast pretty quickly, wouldn't you? So it makes no sense for any animal to only have a memory of 3 seconds.
It doesn't, you know. You find the interesting examples of that kind of in the wild as well. Like you'll see there's a lot of famous kind of videos of swans when they're feeding in the big Asian ponds, or ponds that have goldfish and koi and their cousins.
Yeah.
That... as a swan feeds, it has to wet its beak, you know, so it's taking the grain out, it's dipping it in the water, and people think that the swan is sharing its food with the goldfish, and that's just not the case. What is
yeah.
The goldfish are so smart. They're like, I remember when that big bird was feeding there the last time,
yeah,
there was a load of crumbs dropped, so we're going to go over there and feed off them. So like, these memory skills transfer very well into the wild, obviously, and have come from the wild to help them survive. And another reason why an animal that can think that way shouldn't be left in a pretty bare and small environment without any company.
Yeah. And it sort of leads into, or it sort of adds into that, I suppose, old-fashioned idea now that fish are a bit thick, like fish don't really have anything going on in their heads or in their environment, when in fact they're just as complex.
Yeah.
As we are, as mammals are, as arachnids are, whatever.
Some fish are super intelligent.
Yeah, hell yeah. And also the whole pain thing. I think people forget as well that there was an idea in scientific circles until relatively recently, even sort of very recently, that fish don't feel pain.
Very, very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the paper only came out in the last couple of years, really, where they kind of checked it out and like, you know, pause. It gave me food for thought because I'm an angler. You know, I've fished all my life. It's given me a great love for nature and love for fish. I'm very fond of them. But like, you know, it makes you think about, you know, what you're putting an animal through with your sport.
Even if it's catch and release, you know, you still have the stress of the hook and then the animal really going into a death struggle, really. Like it always, to me, looks like the fishy version of waterboarding. If you're taking an animal out of its natural environment where it gets its air, it gets its oxygen,
yeah,
and it's struggling, that's really stressful. And now I think they're doing some research into see what happens to the fish after they've been through that stress.
They have been for a good while, and some of them will recover better than others. And it's all about, again, it's the handling of them, how much time you have them out of the water. The waterboarding description is pretty perfect because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like getting it out, getting your photograph and putting it back in and as quickly as time as possible. The move towards barbless hooks is a really good one as well, because that's more of a, you know, that's more of them just getting a pin as opposed to a barb ripped out of their lip.
Yeah.
But all very much food for thought, and, you know, something that you can't avoid if you do claim to care about the animals, which, you know, obviously a lot of people do.
Yeah. So we have so far busted a couple of myths. Goldfish don't belong in a bowl.
Yeah.
They
aren't thick.
They're not thick. They have really good memories. They like company. They like hanging out with other goldfish.
Yeah.
And the other one that was really surprising to me, the other myth that was busted for me relatively recently, was age. Because everyone thinks, you know, you get one of these poor unfortunate goldfish at a fun fair, you have it for a couple of months, it dies, you flush it down the loo, you get another one. But actually, if they're well cared for, they really can live a long age, can't they?
They can live for a long time. What's the oldest one recorded?
Okay, I met somebody in a pet shop once who has a pet shop there on Cable Street, a really good one. And she had a goldfish for 27 years.
That's incredible. Yep. Is that Shauna on Cable Street?
Shauna's pet shop, yeah. That's it.
And Shauna is one of those pet shops who's kind of leading the way. I think she was forced in Dublin when she opened up to insist that goldfish would be sold in bowls and had proper cosmetry, and you had to show the setup you were going to put them in. And, you know, yeah, leading from the front, and, you know, you have to applaud that. She's brilliant.
Absolutely.
And yeah, she did a very long lived fish. My longest lived goldfish growing up in my house was like 17 years old in the pond.
Wow.
And probably would still be there only for my mortal enemies, the herons. But
the herons.
But dun, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. We're gonna have to get a special jingle every time
herons.
We mention
yeah,
the herons.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm going to Google oldest goldfish because I think off the top of my head, and I'm just guessing, right?
Yeah.
That it was 40. I think so.
I think you might be right. I heard, I'm just Googling that now.
Oh, here we go.
Go on.
30 years.
30 years.
Provided with proper, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
30 years can goldfish.
That's amazing.
The longest lived goldfish on record was aged 43. There you go.
Wow.
43.
That is something,
isn't
it? That's not
bad. And when you think about it, that's not very strange, because like, again, some of those big fish in the angling lakes, the big carps that would be their cousins, they can live for 50, 60 years as well.
Really?
So, yeah, they're very, God. Very long-lived fish. And I suppose it's down to their kind of fairly kind of brilliant lifestyle, if you just like to eat all day and
hey, that would work for me.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
I wouldn't like that. And still stay absolutely gorgeous and glitzy and beautiful.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, still stay beautiful and young forever. Another thing we need to address as well with goldfish is, as well as the care for them at home, it's the responsibility of that long age that we're just about to talk about. When you do look after them, they are going to be around for a long time.
And will you outlive your goldfish?
Yeah, will you outlive? And have you made plans for if you have to move house or, you know, what would happen to them down the road? So a big issue with them worldwide has been invasiveness. And they are registered as one of the most invasive species on the planet, believe it or not, because wherever you let them out into rivers and lakes that suit them, they kind of take over. They're a massive problem in North America.
Yeah.
They're out breeding and out eating a lot of native fish in lakes over there.
Yeah.
Australia has problems with them. Both in the introduction of them to kind of messing up ecosystems to introducing all sorts of crazy parasites that wouldn't be native to these countries.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kindly thing you think you're doing if you're getting rid of your goldfish and popping it down into a lake or a pond is really not a good idea, because, you know, these things are eating machines and will get quite big, as we talked about earlier on.
Yeah.
And can hybridize with native fish and cause all sorts of kind of hassles. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things as well. Like, again, like we keep rabbiting on about, but it's always worth saying is it's responsible ownership and planning for the future, you know.
Or responsible human companionship. I love challenging the way we use language. And one of the things that I have started using in my own little life is I never talk about owning animals. I talk about being their companions.
Oh, that's a, I must try that.
Yeah, it just gives you a different feeling about the animal. So I look at my two cats and I say, I don't actually own you. Well, they clearly own me, but I don't own them. You know what I mean? It just gives you.
I'd say that with cats.
Yeah.
I'd probably say carer.
Carer.
My creepy
your gang.
Because,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be their companion. They'd probably want to rip my face off half the time.
Yeah, I can't see you cuddling up in bed with your tarantulas in the same way they do with Ziggy.
Not. Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, goldfish, amazing. Yeah, and like with any fish as well, I'm assuming that people get their goldfish home, put the water in from the tap, and slap them in. So, like, if you do keep a goldfish, I'm assuming tap water just as it comes out is not the ideal for them. Like, what type of water do they actually need?
You really need to talk to your local aquarium specialists or your pet shop specialists who are, again, look for the ethical people who know what they're talking about. What you need to do is to get your water treated beforehand. You pour it out into a bucket or several buckets, and you can get dechlorination tablets, you can get dechlorination liquid to take all the chemicals out of the water. You need to let your tank mature before you get your goldfish in there. You don't want to just put them straight in after you fill it up. It has to be running for a couple of, you know, ideally a week or two, because that sets the filter up. You should have a filter as well. All these things come into a factor when you're keeping them indoors.
Mm.
Outdoors, if you're keeping a specific goldfish pond, that's great. They probably need a filtration system as well, but not necessarily depending on the pond and what plants you have in it. What I kind of recommend people do if they are keeping goldfish outside is to have a goldfish pond and as close to it or beside it as possible to have a wildlife pond separate, because goldfish and wildlife don't mix, and you will still get dragonflies and frog spawning and all sorts of stuff in goldfish ponds, mainly down to lack of other available spots because we don't have enough ponds, so we get building. But if you have a separate pond beside it, you can transfer any bugs, creepy crawlies, wild stuff into the smaller pond for the wildlife and keep your goldfish nice and safe, if that makes sense. And I
Collie, are you one of those really skilled people who manages to get ponds into every single conversation?
I believe I believe it's a form of Tourette's at this stage. It's just, but it is like, it's just one of those things. And it's hard not to talk about goldfish without talking about ponds, but you know what I mean. The ideal thing for outdoor goldfish, if you can, is to go back what they did in China and build these big raised ponds. Where you can kind of sit around the wall. Yeah. I don't remember the one in Tala that I had along the wall. That was a lovely little kind of setup. Yeah, so
I do actually. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if I was encouraging people to get into goldfish, it would have to be either with a massive tank or with an outdoor pond. I think it's just more ethical that way.
Yeah. So, like, from animals that we really used to think were disposable toys, they're these deeply complex creatures who have rights. They have the right to a proper life. They have the right to a proper environment. And when we take them into our homes and we're their companions or we're their carers, then it's up to us to really give them what they need. But I was thinking about that photograph again. The whole thing that started off this story was me seeing that photograph in the paper of this really lovely kid. It was a beautiful photograph, gorgeous kid holding up the bag with the goldfish in it. So how mad is that that you leave your house one morning, you get this animal for free,
yeah,
and you have no clue. Like, what do you do when you go home?
Yeah.
Where do you get the tank from? Like, to give somebody an animal as a prize is just so wrong on so many levels. So, you know, that goldfish might be dead by now. And through no fault of the child or their family.
No. It's pretty antiquated. And thankfully, it's not that common anymore. When you told me about it, I was pretty blown away, if you remember. Because it is one of those things that, Janie, it's like, we're getting on now. It's like, I remember that fairly common. But I hadn't heard of it or seen it in a long time. And then you assume because it's banned in, as I said, like in Italy, you know, 20 odd years ago, you think we'd be in the same boat, but we're lagging behind there, and maybe it's something we need to look at in the future. But yeah, if you do see it, don't engage. And if you are getting a goldfish, just remember this little chat that we had and how much of a life that they are capable of living, and you should allow them to live that kind of the full existence.
They're smart little sods, smart little
and very, very adorable. I've gotten attached to many over the years, and I really love them. We've done the impossible. We've made goldfish interesting. Not we haven't made them. We've just emphasised how interesting they are.
And even
in researching this today, now I have to say, there's a couple of things where I was like, particularly the history of it, because I actually, believe it or not, when I was in Hong Kong, because I'm such a world traveller, but I went to...
Oh, you never mentioned that you travel, Colin.
I know. I went to an actual goldfish and koi breeding facility.
Oh.
Very high end, because of course, some of these fish were thousands and thousands.
Really?
Big money, because they're so cherished and well looked after over there. But I remember there was a display of a series of very large tanks along a wall, and it showed the different stages from wild goldfish from their ancestors, like living in the tanks.
Yeah.
And as they progress and as they, the different breeds that they came out, it was a beautiful setup. And as I was reading up on our for the podcast today, researching it, it just reminded me of that, and just the history of them. Like, these animals have kind of been living alongside us as humans for, and kind of bred by us, but also like sharing our history for 2,000 years. It's really, really incredible.
Yeah, and it really is.
Yeah. Kind of it's mind blowing as well. Just to think about that. And
yeah,
very, very cool little creatures. Very interesting and deserving our respect and care.
The Critter Shed is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts, as is my podcast, Petrified. You'll find more great shows at thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.